Picture this. The Chugach Mountains are stacked behind you, white and enormous, their peaks disappearing into cloud. Prince William Sound is shimmering blue to the south. The air smells like Alaska, clean and cold, and just a little bit like jet fuel and fresh coffee, and some guy in a bright yellow super cub just rolled to a complete stop in about 30 feet of runway. The crowd loses its mind. Welcome to Valdez. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and if you have never heard of the Valdez short take-off and landing competition, I need you to sit down for this, because what happens every spring at this little strip in south-central Alaska is one of the most jaw-dropping, most technically impressive, most genuinely thrilling things in all of aviation. I am not kidding. Before we get into it, a quick word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. If you're a pilot who marks the milestones, and you should be, Aviation Soul has challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Okay, Valdez. Valdez Pioneer Field, Airport Identifier, Papa Alpha, Victor Delta. Situated at sea level, barely in a bowl carved out by glaciers, ringed by mountains on three sides, with Prince William Sound at your back. It is one of the most dramatic settings for any airport I have ever seen, and every spring when the snow is still thick on the peaks above town and the ice is just starting to let go of the sound, pilots from across North America descend on this strip for what may be the most competitive, most technically demanding display of aircraft control you will find anywhere in the country. The Valdez Fly-In and STOEL competition, they have been doing this for years, decades even. And it keeps growing, keeps getting more intense, because the backcountry flying community, and if you've been listening to this show, you know exactly who I mean, that community has found its Olympic Games, and they hold it in Alaska A line is painted on the runway, a start line. Contestants make a full-stop landing on the shortest possible ground roll from where the mains first touch down. A judge stands at the start line. A second judge watches where the wheels actually kiss the pavement. The distance is measured in feet. Shortest stop wins. On the takeoff side, same deal. You start at the line, you go full power, and the moment your main gear lifts off the ground, that's your measured point. Shortest ground roll airborne wins. Add the two together. Best combined score takes the class. Simple concept. Except executing it requires an absolute mastery of low-speed aircraft energy management that takes years, years to develop. We are talking about pilots who fly into mountain meadows and gravel bars and glacial flats for a living. This is their world, and they bring every single bit of that skill to Valdez. Now the aircraft. Oh, let me tell you about the aircraft. Super cubs, carbon cubs, huskies, moles, modified machines running big tundra tires, drooped leading edges, extended flap travel, and engines tuned to squeeze every last horsepower they can legally produce. The classes range from stock production aircraft right out of the factory to heavily modified experimental machines that barely resemble their type certificates at first glance. This distinction matters, by the way. The stock classes are where you really see pilot skills shine in its purest form. You take the same Piper Super Cub that has been flying off Alaskan gravel bars since the 1940s, same airplane, put two different pilots in it, one who grew up in the backcountry, one who didn't, and the difference in their landing numbers is stunning. The difference between a 250-foot stop and a 60-foot stop in the exact same airplane, 60 feet. The wingspan of a Super Cub is 35 feet. These pilots are stopping before they've traveled twice the length of their own wingspan past the touchdown point. I watched a run from the spectator area, and I grabbed the arm of the complete stranger standing next to me, Guy in a Carhartt jacket who I had never met in my life, and I said, "Did that just actually happen?" And he laughed, because apparently he has that exact reaction every single year.
The modified classes push this even further. There are builders and tinkerers and engineers in this community who approach stall performance the way a Formula One team approaches aerodynamic downforce. Every inch of wing, every degree of flap deflection, every point on the power-to-weight ratio gets analyzed. The leading edges get slotted, vortex generators go on with surgical precision, flap travel gets extended beyond stock. The result is aircraft that can land in distances that, when you see the footage, make you genuinely question whether the video has been edited. It hasn't been edited. The tape measure on the runway confirms it every time. The landing technique itself is something to watch if you've never seen it up close. The approach angle would concern you in a normal airplane. Full flaps, power on to manage the descent rate, nose high, barely above stall, walking the airplane right down to the threshold on the edge of control. The moment the mains touch, power off, brakes, maximum deceleration, everything happens inside about 2 seconds. If you're off by half a knot on your approach speed, you blow the run. Too fast, you roll further than you wanted. Too slow, and you're behind the power curve in the worst possible moment. These pilots practice this constantly, in their backcountry strips on the glaciers, on the river gravel bars in the middle of the wilderness. Valdez isn't practice. Valdez is where they show what the practice has produced. Now I want to talk about the culture around this event for a moment, because it is as much a part of the experience as the flying itself. Valdez is a small town, about 4,000 people. It sits at the head of a fjord that is genuinely one of the most beautiful places on the planet. The Chugach Mountains rise to over 13,000 feet just north of town, and during the competition, the flying community essentially takes over the airport.
The ramp is wall-to-wall with backcountry aircraft. You've got Carbon Cubs parked next to stock Super Cubs parked next to Cessna 180s on Tundra tires, parked next to someone's home-built tube and fabric machine that came up from the lower 48 on a trailer. People camped under their wings, tables appearing from nowhere, somebody cooking something on a camp stove at 6 in the morning because the competition starts early and nobody wants to miss a run. The conversations you fall into in that crowd, you end up standing next to a guy who has been flying the Alaskan bush for 40 years, who learned to land on gravel bars from his own father, who flew fish camp supply runs for 30 seasons and can read a river bar from 500 feet, and tell you exactly where it'll be rough and where it won't. And then you turn around and you're talking to a 23-year-old from Oregon who built his airplane in his garage, drove it up the Alaska highway on a trailer, and has been practicing short field landings on a private grass strip for 2 years just to come here and compete. That is the spectrum of this community, and they are all here, and they all belong. I talked to one pilot on the ramp. He runs a heavily modified Carbon Cub in the experimental class, and I asked him why Valdez, why do the logistics spend the money, haul yourself to South Central Alaska for a weekend competition. He looked at me like I had asked why you'd want to eat the best meal of your life. He said, "This is the only place where people understand exactly what you've been working on." That one stuck with me. Because backcountry flying is such a solo pursuit, right? You're out in the wilderness on strips that don't show up on sectionals, making judgment calls that nobody else will ever know about or evaluate. You develop this incredibly refined skill set in total isolation. And then you come to Valdez and suddenly you're surrounded by people who have been doing the exact same thing, in the same conditions, asking the same questions, and you can finally get an honest measurement of where you stand.
That competitive element is important. Not just because of ego, though, let's be honest. Nobody lands a 40-foot approach in a Super Cub because they don't care, but because competition forces precision. You cannot fake a short landing. The tape doesn't lie. The number is the number. The organizers are meticulous about this. Judges at multiple positions, measurements taken immediately. The chalk marks right there on the runway where the mains touched. You can walk up after a run and see exactly where each competitor made contact. Transparent. That's part of why the backcountry community trusts this event. The Cub Crafters Company, which builds the Carbon Cub, has been a presence at Valdez for good reason. Where better to demonstrate your short-field performance credentials than the most prominent STOL competition in the country? Other manufacturers in the backcountry space show up too. Suppliers of big Tundra tires, avionics shops that specialize in backcountry-ready glass panels, the modification shops that do the leading edge and flap work. If you want to know who's who in the world of serious backcountry flying, spend a day walking the ramp at Valdez during the fly-in.
Let me tell you a little bit about the flight into Papa Alpha Victor Delta itself, because if you're thinking about going, you need to understand what you're flying into. Valdez sits at the head of a fjord mountains on three sides rise fast and high. The airport has one runway, runway 1436, oriented roughly east-west, 4,900 feet, at sea level, and sea level matters here. Your airplane performs like an airplane. Unlike the backcountry strips these pilots normally operate at, where density altitude is already working against you before you start the engine. Valdez gives you full density air, which is one reason the competition distances are as short as they are. The same airplane that struggles at high altitude performs dramatically better at sea level. This levels the field for pilots who are coming from lower elevation home bases.
But the terrain demands respect. The Chugach Mountains immediately north and east rise fast. Keystone Canyon cuts through the mountains north of town and gives you an idea of the character of the terrain. Weather moves in quickly from Prince William Sound. Fog and low cloud can arrive faster than you expect. The visual approaches from the south coming over the water from the Kenai Peninsula or from Anchorage are the standard entry for general aviation traffic, and on a clear day they are absolutely spectacular. You're flying over Prince William Sound, the water below you brilliantly blue, and then the mountains appear ahead and you're descending into this bowl of a valley, and the runway is right there at sea level. It is one of those arrival experiences that you lock into your memory and keep. The timing of the competition, typically late May around Memorial Day, puts you there when the winter snowpack is still thick on the peaks. The Sound hasn't fully warmed up yet. The temperature is cold enough that density altitude is essentially a non-factor. The mountains are at their most dramatic, white and blue and enormous. Flying into Valdez in May, the competition going on below you, the spectator line visible from the downwind, airplanes in the pattern all morning. I'm telling you, there are moments in aviation that become permanent. That arrival is one of them. And if you're a pilot who has spent your whole career flying off paved runways and you're wondering what backcountry flying is really about, this event is a remarkable entry point. You don't have to compete. You don't even have to have a cub. Bring your Cessna 172 land and spend 2 days watching what pilot skill looks like when it's been honed by the Alaska wilderness for 20 years. It will reframe how you think about your own flying. It will make you look at your landing numbers differently. It will make you go home and practice short field approaches with a completely new level of intention. Fair warning. It might also make you want tundra tires that I cannot help you with.
The thing I keep coming back to about Valdez is how alive it feels. Aviation events can sometimes feel like aviation watching itself from a distance. Static displays, roped-off aircraft, people looking at machines they are not allowed to touch. Valdez is nothing like that. These are working airplanes in the hands of working pilots. They are being used to their limits in ways they were designed for in conditions that match the country they came from. These are not museum pieces. They are machines that flew here from a backcountry strip somewhere, and in a few days they'll fly back to that strip and continue doing exactly what they were built for. And once a year, they bring all of that to a small airport at the head of a fjord in Alaska, and they measure it in feet. For more on the Valdez fly-in, the Recreational Aviation Foundation is a great starting point. They are the organization behind backcountry airstrip advocacy and preservation, and they've got deep roots in this community. More from us at RadioHangar.com. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check. If you've never flown into Alaska, start planning.